Chapter 15. The woman's body lay on its side at the far end of the parking lot in the Paradise Mall. Her head jammed against the rear tire of a silver Volvo cross-country wagon. A shopping cart full of groceries stood nose in against the black Audi sedan next to the Volvo. Jesse sat on his heels beside Peter Perkins and looked at her. "Two in the chest," Perkins said. "Looked like small caliber to me." "Just like Kenneth Isley," Jesse said. "At first look," Perkins said. "Keys were in her hand," Jesse said, "and she dropped them when she was shot." "She probably popped the rear gate with a remote on her keychain," Perkins said. "Rear gate is unlatched but not open." Jesse looked at the unemptied shopping cart. Behind them, several people, attracted by the blue lights on the patrol cars, stood in silence, held away from the crime scene by Simpson and D'Angelo. In the distance, a siren sound. "That'll be the EMTs," Perkins said. "She doesn't need them anymore." "No," Perkins said, "but they can haul her away." Jesse nodded. "So," he said, "she food shops in the market and checks out and wheels her cart out here." "This her car?" "I assume so." "Try her keys," Jesse said. Wearing gloves, Perkins picked up the keychain and pointed the remote at the Volvo and clicked the power lock. The lights flashed and the door locks clicked. He unlocked the doors the same way, then dropped the keys into an evidence bag and made a notation on the label. "Okay, so she comes out here to her car." He looked around the parking lot. "Which is way out here because the lot is full." "Friday night," Perkins said. "It's always like this on a Friday night?" "Yeah, worse before a holiday." "She pops her rear door," Jesse said, "to put her stuff away and gets two in the chest. She maybe lived 5 more seconds and turned half away before she died and fell. And her head jammed up that way against the rear tire." Perkins nodded. "That's how I'd read it," he said. The mercury floods in the parking lot gave everything a faint bluish tinge. In other parts of the lot, cars were looking for spots and waiting for people to load their groceries and pull out so that they could pull in. If they saw the blue lights, they didn't react, and having places to go, went. The Paradise emergency response wagon rolled into a stop, and Duke Vincent got out. He knelt beside the woman and felt for a pulse. He knew, as they all knew, that he wouldn't find one. But it was routine. It would be embarrassing to take a living body to the morgue. "Can we move her yet?" he said to Jesse. Jesse looked at Perkins. "You all set?" he said. "Yeah, I've chalked the outline." "Okay, Dookie," Jesse said. "She got a name?" Duke said as they loaded her into the back of the wagon. "Driver's license says Barbara Carey." Vincent nodded. "You notice she got shot just like the guy on the beach," he said. "I noticed," Jesse said. "Just thought I'd mention it," Duke said, and got in the wagon and drove away. People gathered to watch began to drift away. Suitcase Simpson came over to stand with Jesse and Peter Perkins. "What do you think?" he said. He spoke to both of them, but he looked at Jesse. "Well, there was money still in her purse," Perkins said. "She was still wearing her rings and necklace." "Unless it was a random shooting," Jesse said, "the killer or killers had to follow her here. Even if they knew she was coming here to shop, they'd have no way to know where she'd park." "Which means they drove," Simpson said. Jesse nodded. "And if they drove, they'd park near where she parked and sit in the car and wait for her to come out," Jesse said. "Peter, you and Suit and Anthony get the license numbers of any cars that could see her car from where they were parked." "You think the killer could still be here?" Simpson said. "Don't know," Jesse said. "Let's see." He jabbed his forefinger toward the parked cars. "You bet," Perkins said. Jesse went to his car and called Molly on the radio. "Got a woman shot to death at the mall," he said. "License number says she's Barbara Carey, 16 Rose Avenue. See if she's got a next of kin." "If there is, do I notify?" Molly said. "I'll do that," Jesse said. "No," Molly said. "I can do it." "Okay," Jesse said. "Let me know." Among the few people still watching, a husband and wife held hands and whispered together. "Who's that talking on the radio?" she said. "Chief of police, I think." "He's cute," she said. "I didn't notice," he said. What are the other cops doing? She said. Taking down license numbers. My God, she said, they'll find our names. So, he said, they'll find 100 other names, too. Do you think they'll question us? It's a small town force, he says. I doubt they got the manpower. Be kind of exciting if they did, she said. Yes. What would we say? We'd say we came here to pick up some groceries, he said, which we did. I thought I might have an orgasm right there, she said, standing beside her, putting grapes in a bag. He smiled and squeezed her hand. Up close and personal, he said softly.